Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
How many of you know that Easter is a time of surprise? We've certainly had our share of surprises today, have we not? And I'm grateful for that. If you will turn in your Bibles now to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. The word of the Lord. You know, what would Easter be without surprises? What would Easter be without even some chocolate bunnies? Anybody here receive a chocolate bunny today? I got one this morning. I don't know why I'm talking about the chocolate bunny, but all that's to say, I was reminded of a cartoon I saw. And the cartoon was of two chocolate bunnies, and both of them had a bite taken out of them. And one of the bunnies had a bite taken out of his backside. The other bunny was missing his two ears. The first bunny said, "I'm in a lot of pain here." The second bunny just stared at him and said, "What?" Many years ago, as a young seminary student, I remember one of my professors saying to us fledgling pastors, he said the only Easter sermons that he considered biblical, the only Easter sermons, he said, that really mattered, were those that were full of trembling, astonishment, and fear. He said that because the Gospels emphasize that. This is not a day to focus on chocolate bunnies. This is a day of trembling and astonishment and fear, and a whole host of other emotions, as we're going to see. Now, did you notice in our gospel reading that Matthew said there was a great earthquake on the day Jesus rose from the grave? Not just an ordinary earth shake, but Matthew uses the word mega. There was a mega earthquake. Some of your Bibles say a violent earthquake. And Matthew is emphasizing here that the earth did not just shake a little bit. It violently shook on the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And the guards at the tomb trembled and became like dead men. Verse 4 of chapter 28. Folks, there was a whole lot of shaking going on at the resurrection of Jesus. The earth shook. People shook. In Mark's gospel, we are told that the response to the empty tomb was trembling and astonishment. And Luke's gospel tells us that the women who went to the tomb saw angels and were frightened. By the way, John's gospel tells us that when Peter arrived at the empty tomb, he saw the linen grave cloths of Jesus lying there, and the face cloth, or the napkin in some Bible translations, was folded up. I've been wondering about that. It's popular to believe that Jesus folded the napkin up because the Jewish custom of his day meant that when you folded up the napkin, you were going to return. And that really sounds nice and wonderful, but I've been doing some research. It's an urban legend. There are no rabbinical sources that tell us that the reason Jesus folded the napkin, that was his way of saying, I'm going to return. But it sounds nice, makes for a great story, but there really is no tradition or custom in the time of our Lord that said when you folded up your napkin, that was a way of saying you were coming back. That's a European tradition, centuries later. In any event, back to the earthquake. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry spoke of God's people experiencing an earthquake in their own bosoms, just like the Apostle Paul, who trembled and was astonished when he encountered the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. Friends, my professor was right. The Gospels are full of trembling and astonishment and fear when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Now, of course, there's joy as well. For Christ is not dead. He is risen. And that is joyous news that needs to be shouted from the church house, shouted from the rooftops, and proclaimed in the streets. But remember now, the joy came after the trembling and the fear. And God has purposely included in his word the full range of emotions that people experienced nearly 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus defeated death and rose victoriously from the grave. And this Easter season, I have been drawn to the earthquake. I've been drawn to the shaking of that day. And what I find fascinating, that in the Bible, whenever earthquakes are mentioned, they're always attributed to God. That is because nature has no will of its own. Nature's laws are God's laws. Forget about Mother Nature. It is Father God who is sovereign over his creation, including the weather. It is God who shakes the earth. Psalm 18, verse 7 speaks of the earth reeling and rocking in response to David's cry of distress. Psalm 60, verse 2 says that God has made the land to quake and has torn it open. Isaiah 13, verse 13 says that God will shake the earth out of its place at the wrath of the Lord in the day of his fierce anger. And of course, the Bible tells us that there was an earthquake on the day Jesus was crucified. And there was an earthquake on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. You see, when God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and our Lord died on the cross, and when he rose from the dead, God shook the earth to get people's attention. God was shaking up the natural realm. And in our gospel reading from Matthew, certainly the two Marys were all shook up on the day Jesus rose from the grave. They were already shaken up by the horrible way in which he died. And on Sunday morning, about dawn, they're on their way to the tomb, and behold, there was a mega earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it, Matthew records. And the shining angel was such an imposing sight that the guards shook with fear. And then comes the glorious news that Jesus is not dead. He has risen, as he said. Now think with me of the flood of emotions those women must have felt. Grief and shock and mourning and fear and then great joy. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had been mightily shaken and changed. And what shakes me up about Matthew's account in his gospel is that God is shaking things up. Easter is all about God shaking up things, shaking up the status quo, and doing a new thing in the world. Easter featured an earthquake that turned the world upside down, for death was no longer the end of the story. For followers of Christ, it was a brand new beginning. The tomb became a womb, bringing forth new life. Isaiah 25, from which Sonny just read, said, "The Lord will swallow up death forever." God has swallowed up death in the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. And I like to think of what happened 2,000 years ago on that first resurrection morning. Not merely an earthquake, it was a lifequake. It wasn't an earthquake merely that rocked the physical world. It was a lifequake that shook people to the very soul, to the very core. And I want to suggest to each of us here today that we need an Easter earthquake. We need a resurrection lifequake. We need to be shaken up just as those early people were shaken up on that resurrection morning long ago. I wonder, are there things in your life that need to be shaken? Attitudes and behaviors and prejudices and structures of sin and selfishness that the Lord desires to shake up and to shake out? Does your world need to be shaken and turned upside down? Long ago, the disciples were mourning and in a state of despair. But then they experienced a life quake that shook them up and changed their lives forever. Listen now, Jesus Christ is a mover and a shaker. He can take people who are spiritually dead and bring them to life. He did it for me. He's done it for many of us here today. And the Lord can turn our darkness into light and our mourning into joy. He can take the hard wood of the cross and beautify it and flower it, as has been done here today. The resurrection of Jesus is all about people being shaken and changed. In fact, the Bible says that because of that Easter earthquake long ago, there are some specific things that can happen to us. First of all, and most importantly, our sins can be forgiven. Let me say that again. Our sins can be forgiven. When a person turns from their sins and trusts in the living Christ as Savior and Lord, the Bible says that we are forgiven. If Christ were still dead and there had been no resurrection earthquake long ago, we would still be dead in our sins and without hope. But hallelujah, we can be forgiven of our sins because Christ the Lord has conquered death and the grave. He shook things up. He is risen. But there's more. Secondly, because of that resurrection earthquake long ago, the Lord is able to be with us and to dwell within us. That's one of the most amazing truths of the Christian faith. The living Christ comes to live inside of his people through the Holy Spirit. We are not alone. You can have the assurance that when you go through life and all the problems of this life, the Lord is with you. He resides within you. That is because Christ is risen because of that Easter earthquake. I love the words of the hymn. We didn't sing it today, but often we sing it on Easter morn. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. The living Christ comes to live in spiritually dead people and bring us to life. So let that Easter earthquake shake you up and invite the Lord to forgive your sins and to come to make his home inside of you. And third, because of that resurrection earthquake long ago, you can rest assured that Jesus is praying for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25 that Christ always lives to intercede for people who draw near to him through Christ. That means we're on his mind right now. What do you think Jesus might be saying to the Father on your behalf? Perhaps he's saying, Father, send a resurrection earthquake to that person today. They need to be shaken. Fourth, the Bible teaches that because of that resurrection earthquake long ago, someday every child of God will receive a brand new body, a resurrection body. I'm so glad that I'm not carrying this body through all eternity. Just a few days ago on Wednesday, one of our dear saints, Marilyn High, passed peacefully from this life into the next. She's now with Jesus, where she awaits her resurrection body. Her hat sits here on the front row, reminding us of where she used to sit with those wonderful hats. Marilyn is gone. She is with Jesus. And someday she will receive a resurrection body, as we will when we die in the Lord. The Bible says that all of us are on a journey, a three-stage journey of death, life, and resurrection. We live, we die, and then there is resurrection unto eternal life. And we can have all of that and more if we will experience that Easter earthquake in our lives. For you see, these aftershocks that Matthew has described, and the gospel writers describe, and the writers of Scripture describe, the aftershocks are still being felt today as the Lord continues to transform lives by his amazing grace. And the truth is, every one of us needs a personal lifequake, an Easter earthquake. So why not let this beautiful Easter morning, this Resurrection Sunday, be for you that lifequake, a time of shaking loose those things that need to go. And I'm talking about sin. Ask the Lord to shake up your life. And then, just like those two Marys we read about in Matthew's gospel, go forth with great joy. The same word Matthew uses for the earthquake, he uses for joy. There was a mega earthquake, and there was mega joy on that first Easter morning. May we, with that mega joy, go forth to worship. The two Marys took hold of the feet of Jesus, and they worshiped him. And the Lord's word to them was, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. My friend, allow the Lord to change you by his grace. And may that transformation lead to joy and worship as you are never again the same because of the Easter earthquake that happened long ago. There are some folks full of joy, ready to go shout it today. I wish I had the energy of some of these children. God bless you. And may we go and run just like Lucy and the children today. And full of joy, let others know that he is risen. And as is the tradition in so many Christian churches, the response to he is risen is, he is risen indeed. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, today is a day of resurrection. It is a day of you shaking things up. And Lord, we have been shaken today. God, may you continue to shake in us and awaken us. And may that Easter earthquake so long ago in history, Lord, may we feel the aftershocks as we are transformed by your amazing saving grace. Thank you, Lord, that someday we will have resurrection bodies. But until that day, we can know our sins are forgiven, that you live inside of us, and that, Jesus, you are interceding for your people. For all of this and more, we say thank you, Lord. We love you. Shake us some more in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
First Presbyterian Church in downtown Jacksonville, Florida, also known as the Church with the Red Doors, cordially invites you to Music on Monroe on May 5th at 4 p.m. concert in the Vivace Trio. It will be an unforgettable afternoon of classical music right here at 118 East Monroe Street. And now, here's a recent pastoral pondering, a message from Reverend Dr. Michael Scott Luckey.
Greetings from Jacksonville, Florida. At this very moment, Hurricane Florence is churning out in the Atlantic Ocean and bearing down on the Carolinas. Whether it be hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, fires, the troubling weather narrative just seems to continue. Meanwhile, we are experiencing stormy conditions on another front. The cultural storms are numerous, and they include the breakdown of the traditional family, moral relativism, political infighting, and the scourge of terrorism. What is more, Bible-believing Christians are increasingly becoming targets of anti-God radicals. The Ten Commandments and other references to God are being removed from public life. America's cultural elites, who trumpet inclusivism and tolerance, display incredible hypocrisy in their intolerance of the religion of the cross, while showing great lenience toward the religion of the sword and other belief systems. And what can be said about the cultural rot all around us? Millions of American households open the sewer valve daily and allow Hollywood to pump its unfiltered sludge into our homes via television. Meanwhile, the murder of innocents, we call it abortion, continues. While much of the American church has conformed to the hedonistic spirit of the age, it now seems there's little difference between the lifestyles of Christians and non-Christians. Many discerning believers in Christ have an ominous sense that America and the church is in for some tough times ahead. There's a storm on the horizon of which today's cultural rot and clash of worldviews and even natural disasters are but a harbinger. But all of this is nothing new. Long ago in the days of Noah, evil was the order of the day. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." He told Noah to build an ark in which he and his family would be safe from the coming storm. That ark is a picture of Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the approaching storm, the wrath that is to come, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. I am in full agreement with Billy Graham, who said this: "In this day when the clouds of judgment are beginning to gather, Christ is the refuge. You must cross the threshold and pass into the ark." "Are you in?" said Billy Graham. "You may be close, but are you inside? The universal and terrible storm is coming. The days of Noah may soon be upon us. Are you ready for the day of judgment?" Dr. Graham was right. We are living in perilous times. To the Bible, the times will turn increasingly stormy and evil before the coming of the Lord Jesus in great glory to judge the living and the dead. My friend, trust in Christ now as your Savior, before it's too late. Get in the ark today, right now, for the storm is on the way. The ark is ready. Today is the day of salvation. So trust in Christ today.
Greetings from sunny Florida. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Many years ago, as a young seminary student, I remember one of my professors saying that the only Easter sermons he considered biblical were those that were full of trembling, astonishment, and fear. He said that because the Gospels emphasize that. In Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 1 in chapter 28, we are told that the day that Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew goes on to say there was a violent earthquake when he rose from the grave. Not just an ordinary earthquake, a mega earthquake, a violent one, as some translations say. And the guards at the tomb shook with fear and became like dead men. The earth shook, people shook, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. Likewise, in Mark's Gospel, we read that the response to the empty tomb was trembling, astonishment, and fear. And Luke's Gospel tells us that the women who went to the tomb saw angels and they were frightened. On that first resurrection morning, some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus rose from the grave, there was an earthquake followed by shaking, astonishment, and fear. And I've been dwelling on that lately. I know we should focus on joy, the joy of Easter, for Christ is not dead. He is risen. Hallelujah. That is joyous news that needs to be shouted from the church house and the rooftops. But we also need to remember that before the joy, there was shaking, astonishment, and even fear. Those are key parts of the resurrection that God has included in His Word. You know, there was an earthquake at both the crucifixion and the resurrection. When Jesus died and when He rose, God shook the earth, getting people's attention. Now, certainly the two Marys were all shook up on the day that Jesus rose from the grave. We read about their account in Matthew's Gospel. They were already shaken up by the horrible way that Jesus died on Friday, and on Sunday morning they were walking to the tomb, and at that point God shakes things up, for suddenly there was a violent earthquake, the result of an angel of the Lord coming from heaven and rolling away the stone. And the angel was such an imposing sight that the soldiers started shaking with fear. And then comes the glorious news that Jesus is not dead. He has risen just as He said. The angel tells the women to go and tell the disciples. Now think of the emotions the women must have felt. First grief and mourning, fear, then great joy. Those women had been mightily shaken and changed. And what stands out to me from Matthew's gospel is that God is shaking things up. You see, Easter is all about God shaking up the status quo and doing a new thing. Easter started with an earthquake that turned the world upside down. Death was no longer the end of the story. For followers of Christ, it was a new beginning. The tomb became a womb, bringing forth new life. And I like to think of what happened on that first Easter morning long ago in terms of a life quake, a different kind of an earthquake, not just an earthquake that rocked the world, but a life quake, a resurrection quake that shook people to their very core. My friend, Jesus Christ is a mover and a shaker. He can take people who are spiritually dead and bring them to life. He can turn darkness into life and mourning into joy. And His resurrection from the dead is all about being shaken and changed. Can I encourage you to ask Christ to shake up your life this Easter? Then run with joy and go tell others that your sins have been forgiven. Tell them that Christ lives in you and that He can shake up their life too. Easter, that day of resurrection, is all about life quakes. And it happened long ago when it shook people up, and the spiritual aftershocks of that great event in history are still being felt all these years later. God bless you, and may this Easter season find you being all shaken up by the living, resurrected Lord.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.